Okay, let's learn. For those who haven't been here so far, this man, we're spending the Yom Hashem talking about Shabbos. We're just now trying to work our way into Erev Shabbos and to understand the nature of the Matana Toiv, of the precious gift that Hashem has given us. And we've been talking about what that means. In the collection of Rabbi Yoshua Ben Soloveitchik's Droshes on Tshuva, that's known as Ala Tshuva, there's a note in one of the chapters. There's a note, something personal that Rabbi Yoshua Ben Zecher Tzadik Livracha said. Derech Agiv in the Drosha, which I photographed that and I don't know what happened to it. So I'm going to paraphrase it. It was always startling to hear something personal from Rabbi Yoshua Ber. It wasn't his style. So when it happened, it was extremely moving. And he described in that note, in Ala Tshuva, how he remembers a time when 90% of the Jews were observant, when he grew up and where he grew up, and how odd it is that nowadays Shomer Shabbos, for a Jew to be Shomer Shabbos, has become sort of an honorary title. He said, just like the title now, Harav Hagon, the illustrious genius, both of them have very little meaning or significance these days, and say very little about the person. Rav Soloveitchik said that he often lies awake at night thinking about how it's not so much the Shabbos of his childhood that he misses. And in America, he said, Jews are also Shomer Shabbos. There are Jews who keep Shabbos. He says, but his heart, he says, my heart is aching for the Erev Shabbos that I recall as a child. The Erev Shabbos. He says, my heart is aching and I lie awake at night thinking about the Erev Shabbos that I miss. The Fridays, the Erev Shabbos. When he recalls the beating and the pulsing of the Jewish heart, of the simple Jews of his hometown, who are waiting in anticipation for the arrival of Shabbos and getting ready for Shabbos. Let's try to understand why that tzaddik's heart was hurting so much. We don't remember, most of us here are not of the age to remember that world and to know what it was like. But maybe if we understand and we learn, we too can feel something of that. And to connect more to Erev Shabbos. We've learned that since Shabbos is a Matana Toiva, it's a gift. And Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Lech Vahidiyam, go and tell them. Lech Vahidiyam doesn't just mean to let them know, it means tell them to prepare. So something needs to be known in advance because the Jewish people need somehow to prepare for the arrival of Shabbos. And this, of course, has found its way into halacha on many levels, which we're not going to go into right now. It's a sugya, the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara cites the pasuk ve'chinus asher yaviyu. That indicates that Shabbos requires hachana, preparation. We're going to talk about what that means. Ve'chinu es asher yaviyu. So the Gemara says, La'olam yashkim adam. Rashi says, what does it mean that a person should wake up early? Rashi says, Erev Shabbos le'tzroichu le'zamein. That on Friday a person should wake up early. the troyach l'nzamein, to get ready and to be involved. L'hitzah Shabbos for the needs, the shopping and the other needs of Shabbos. And the Gemara says, in Pesachim, b'kachnogu b'nei bayishin sh'leholuch b'yem shishi mitzur l'yem ashuk b'tzidoin k'dei sh'lei levatel mitzarech Shabbos, that business trips were suspended. The normal routes that were taken for these business trips were empty of Jews on Friday. Shalei levatel mitzarech Shabbos. Because Erev Shabbos is a day when Jews are busy with tzarech Shabbos, with the needs of Shabbos. And therefore it's brought down in the poskim, without going into details. It's the Ramban in Parshas Yisro. The Ramban in Parshas Yisro, in his understanding of Zochris Yom HaShabbos, that Zochra, to remember Shabbos, isn't just a romantic ideal. Zochris Yom HaShabbos, according to the Ramban, is a mitzvah saseh mideraisa. There's a positive commandment from the Torah during the 6 days of the week to remember Shabbos, whatever that means. But the concept of hachon, of preparing for Shabbos, is the raisis from the Torah. This is discussed at length in the Chayadim's Hakdamah to Hilchos Shabbos. The Ramak, who was from the Gedolei HaMekubalim, Rav Moshe Cordovero, Ramak writes, L'kedushas HaShabbos nimsheches oleinu, the holiness of Shabbos, which is drawn upon us, anu tzrichim la'aseh hachana v'tikun. We have to make a hachana, we have to make a tikun. Something must be done to prepare and to get ready. Something needs to be repaired. As it's written, v'shomru b'nei Yisrael sa'shabbos, v'shomru, to watch. Watching over here means, haynu sh'yachinu atzmam, v'yitzapu ad boyoy, k'shvi ma'isev ha'chanosu b'chol, ken yam shachakach v'shabbos. So the Ramak says that the entire 6 days of the week are days of waiting and watching. And to the extent that one watches and waits, although we don't know what that means exactly, during the 6 days of the week, the Ramak says, so he will be able to have access to draw upon himself the light of Shabbos. That bnei hayoy shisha yomim hachana v'tikim l'kedushas ha-Shabbos. And really, the truth is, Erev Shabbos is not only Friday. On the deepest level, Erev Shabbos, of course, is Friday. But really, if you think about it, it's really been a very long Erev Shabbos. We usually feel that Erev Shabbos is much too short. Even if it comes out now, it's mamash going to be unbelievable. But even when it comes out, 7, 8 o'clock, Shabbos, the truth is that all of history has been an Erev Shabbos. You know that the 6,000 years were almost at that point. Mr. Ramban discusses in Breishis each day of creation, 1,000 years, and each day, and each 1,000 years of Golas corresponds to one day. So we're holding now Erev Shabbos, we're holding Erev Shabbos, Atot Ben Hashmoshes now. It's been a very, very long Friday, almost 6,000 years. Golas has lasted. Because all of history, all of life, all of history is a hachana, is no more than a preparation for that time, which will be Yom Shekulu Shabbos Amnucha, for the days of Mashiach, which will be the final Shabbos of all of history. So therefore, we understand that in fact, all the days of our lives we're preparing for Shabbos, for the big Shabbos. For the Shabbos of all Shabboses. So we have to understand the nature of this inyan of hachana. What does it mean to prepare? What does it mean to get ready? What does it mean to wait? Now in the secular world, it's generally understood, certainly in modern times, it's understood that hachana, preparing for something, is on a much lower madrega, on a much lower level than having something. In the modern world, there's very little interest. There's very little interest in how do you get to something. There's very little interest if a person is at work, if a person is at work and he's been preparing so hard, he's working so hard on a certain project, and he's unsuccessful. Generally, unless you're in a wonderful, wonderful place of employment and have a very compassionate boss, generally, if you're working on a project for a long time and you made fantastic hachanas, preparations, and lamaisa comes out that it doesn't work, that you're unsuccessful, it's very odd that you would get a raise or a promotion of any type. And somebody else could come to that place, and in 2-3 days he's matzliach, and you could find yourself out of a job altogether. Because in the secular mind, in the non-Torah mind, all that counts really is the tachlis. What do you have to show? What's the tachlis? What are the results? And this causes a great deal of pain for many, many people who put their hearts and soul into preparing for something and oftentimes come up empty when it comes to the tachlis. They simply can't compete with somebody else. But the Torah has a different way of thinking, Baruch Hashem. This is not the Torah's way of thinking. There's an unbelievable sentence that's found from one of our Kadmonim, from one of the Rishonim, the Ritva. The Ritva in Pesachim and Avzayin, on the Chidushim, the Ritva in Zayin and Beis and Pesachim, he says an unbelievable thing. And the rest of this year now is going to be to try to understand. The Ritva is discussing the fact that according to Halacha, with very few exceptions, you know that we make a bracha before we do the mitzvah. This is called, of course, Ayver L'Asiyah. So we make a bracha before the mitzvah. So a Jew makes a bracha, leniach tefillin, and then he puts on the tefillin, and so on, with some exceptions. But generally, that's the principle, that's the rule. So the Ritva is discussing this principle of making a bracha, Ayver L'Asiyah, before the mitzvah. Listen to these words. It's hard to believe that this is found in the Rishayim. Ki habrochis me'avoides ha'nefesh. The Ritva writes that a bracha is me'avoides ha'nefesh. It's a labor of the soul. It's a soulful spiritual labor, a bracha. V'roi lahaktim avoides ha'nefesh l'maise shehi avoides ha'guf. And it's proper and fitting that avoidas ha-nefesh, that something which is where the soul of a person, the nefesh, when his inner life is put to work, it's fitting and proper, the Ritva writes, that should precede the ma'isa, the physical act, which is avoidas ha-guf, which altogether is an avoida, engages man's physical life. In other words, on a certain level, this is a very profound thing which we're going to understand in Mitzvah Shem. On a certain level, the Ritva is saying that, of course, this doesn't mean in halacha, the ikur is the ma'isa. But the Ritva is saying that there is something special about the bracha. There is a certain dimension that is in every bracha for a mitzvah we're talking about that is not in the mitzvah itself. That the bracha is avoides ha-nefesh. It's talking about Hashem. It's thinking about Hashem. It's engaging the inner life. And that the Ritva says, in a certain way, is Roy Lahaktim Avedis HaNefesh L'mais Yishu Avedis HaGuf, precedes the actual mitzvah itself, the physical act, which is simply that. As exalted and as amazing as it is, as godly as the physical act is, Sof Kol Sof, it's constrained and confined by the reality of this world, and man's physical capabilities are limited. This is in the language of the Ritva. The Achronim spell this out more. And the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Rabbi Lev Yitzchak Berdishev, writes the following. In Parshas Vayetze, you should look in Kedushas Levi. You should look every Parsha Kedushas Levi, but this Inyan is in Vayetze. Rabbi Lev Yitzchak speaks here about longing, about yearning for something. Yesh b'koysef ma'al yaseir, and it's especially meaningful coming from this tzaddik. The Rebbe of Levi Yitzchak says that yesh b'koysef ma'al yaseir, that there is an advantage, there's something special when a person is yearning for something. Ki b'maisa, in other words, in comparison to an act, to the act itself. Ki b'maisa eino ela ma'asha oisa. When it comes to a ma'isa, when it comes to a physical act, so the Rebbe of Levi Yitzchak says, "Eina elamasha oisa." It could be the most wonderful thing, but sof kol sof, it's a physical act that's contained in this physical world. Derech Moshel, for instance, tefillin. K'sheminiach az ein biyado ala mitzvahs tefillin. The moment that a person puts on tefillin, all he has is the actual act, the physical act of winding the tefillin, of putting on the tefillin. Avala koysev, by his lava sheyesh ol mitzvah. But the longing and the waiting, the anticipation to do a mitzvah. Kedei lasas nachas ruach leboirei, the thoughts that a person has before doing a mitzvah, preparing for the mitzvah, getting ready for the mitzvah. To give nachas ruach, to give nachas to his creator. Who koilol kol ha-mitzvahs. This is something which is not bound by space or by time, and it includes in the therefore one's entire Yiddishkeit. Umal olav akosav kilo asol nuchal ha-mitzvah, explains Zaysa Kavana. This is the meaning of what it says in Pasik. Kol ha-mitzvah asher anoich mitzavcha hayoim tishmerun. Kol ha-mitzvah. Asher anoichi mitzavcha hayayim tishmerun. Hashem is Baruch tells each and every one of us that the entire mitzvah that I'm giving you, tishmerun. Now we go back to the Ramak. The Rebbe Levi Yitzchak says, afilu mitzvah she'ein noigim b'zman hazeh. Even mitzvahs that you can't do now. Most mitzvahs we can't even do. We don't have nebuch. We don't have a beis hamikdash. Eretz Yisrael is not the matzav, is not in the state that it's supposed to be in. But Rav Levi Yitzchak says, even though we don't have the physical mitzvah, we have what? Tishmerun, which is the waiting and the hoping and the yearning. He says, Ata yochel l'kayim v'ayifin k'she tishmeru miloshen v'aviv shomar es hadovar. It's a famous teaching from Rav Levi Yitzchak, and it's found in the other svarim. The word in Hebrew, tishmerun, lishmor, does not only mean to guard, to protect, or to watch. It also means to wait and to long for, and we see this when Yosef at Tzaddik revealed his dreams. So it says in the Torah that his brothers despised him for his dreams. But Va'aviv Shomer es Hadavar. But Yaakov Avinu Shomer es Hadavar. And Rashi tells us from Chazal that Shomer es Hadavar was Yosef Mitzapeh. That Yaakov Avinu heard what Yosef said, and he was waiting with longing and expectation to see the unfolding of those dreams. So the word shmir, the Bedichva says, does not only mean what it simply is to protect or to guard and watch, but it means to wait for something with longing. When will I be able to do this mitzvah? When will I be able to bring nachas ruach to the one who created me? That's what it means, tishmerun. That's how Rabbi Levi Yitzchak explains, Kol ha-mitzvah esho neichim etzavcha hayoim tishmerun, even though you can't bring korbanis now, even though sometimes, and I've told this often to my students, and I've mentioned it here before as well, that I have many students of mine who in their homes are not really able to keep Shabbos. Their parents don't allow it to be a Shabbos, and there are lights going on in their televisions and things that are CDs that are playing and so on. And telephones are ringing, and a child doesn't feel Shabbos. All that person has, that Shabbos, is tishmerun, a longing and a wanting, which many of us are missing in our lives. But those kids have, or adults. That tishmerun, that wanting, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak says, in a certain way, this is what the Ritva is saying. On a certain level, it's an avodas hanefesh that is deep and that's more amazing than the moment of the mitzvah itself. And therefore, on that level, you could be thousands of miles away from Eretz Yisrael. And it could be that there's, instead of on the Har HaBayis, instead of there being a Beis HaMikdash, There's a filthy mosque in the Harabayis. And a Jew who lives in that way of Reb Lev Yitzchak, and it's so fitting that Reb Lev Yitzchak, you know, there was a famous story that Reb Lev Yitzchak was waiting up the whole night after Sukkot, after Simchas Torah, to put on tefillin. He hadn't put on tefillin the whole week, right? He didn't put on tefillin the whole week. So Kedushas Levi was waiting that whole night after Simchas Torah, when we're all so exhausted, and we don't even understand what was the Hakafis of Reb Lev Yitzchak and Baditshev. Do we understand the avoid of the Baditshev? And he stayed up the whole night. He was waiting for the first moment he could put on tefillin. And he almost got killed because when it came to that second, when the Zman arrived, he put his hand through to get the tefillin that was sitting in the Svarim shrank, and it went through the glass, and he almost bled to death. We could use some of Reb Lev Yitzchak's blood to bring us to life. So that tzaddik is telling us the inyan of shmira, of tishmun, and in that world you're not limited to the mitzvahs that you could do. Even if you're Yisrael, you could be a Kayin. And even if you don't have a base of mikdash, you could be staying in Yerushalayim. The Sfasemis says it in one sentence. Ki asiyas ha-mitzvah rak l'sha. The actual observance of a mitzvah is for the moment. It's for the moment of the mitzvah. U'bahachana, Vahachani, he says, but preparing and waiting and wanting is la'olam, is forever. It has something of eternity in it. My family, my children, my wife know that I don't think highly in general of birthdays. My own, but as far as the kids, I observe those. But not my own. And my father, I grew up in a house where my father made fun of these things, and I don't take them too seriously either. I mean, the only birthday party in Chumash is Yom Hiladet is Paro, right? So I wasn't brought up taking that seriously. Nevertheless, the family, when I was turning 40, so it became apparent to me that there were some preparations that were going on. Not that I was looking forward to them or waiting for them, but over a dozen times in the course of the day or two preceding my birthday, my little one, my baby, came to tell me that I'm not allowed to tell you something. You know how they do that. It's something big, but I can't tell you. So, and I saw there was such excitement, and it was so sweet. The preparations, when you prepare for someone that you love, and something that you love, the preparations are so unbelievable. Then when it comes to the ma'aseh, it's almost anticlimactic. As you know, it's like, okay. Now, so everybody is, after you turn the lights on, everybody says, happy birthday. So then, that moment can never, ever, ever equal the anticipation of doing something, of getting ready to show love for someone that you love. It can never, ever equal that. And that's what the Ritva is talking about. That's what the Kedushas Levi is talking about. And here we have an unbelievably exalted teaching from Rav Kook, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, that I've mentioned before. But it's important to chazer at this time. Ushav temayim b'sosam yimayim mehe Yeshua. You know that the most joyous time of the year is Sukkot. And in Sukkot, the greatest simcha is the Ushav temayim, is drawing the water to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash for the ceremony of the Nisuch HaMayim. Rav Kook points out that the Pasuk does not say, Unesach temayim b'sosam, that you shall pour the water over the altar with joy. It says, Ushav temayim b'sosam. That means that the Ikka HaSimcha, Rav Kook says, was not actually the mitzvah, which was pouring the water on the Mizbeach. The Ushav temayim b'sosam, it was the drawing of the water. It was getting ready for the party. It was drawing the water out. The mitzvah itself was not the Shivas HaMayim. The mitzvah is the pouring of the water on the Mizbeach. And yet it says in Pasuk, Ushav temayim b'sosam yimayim mehe Yeshua, that the b'sosam, this is a taste of the end of time, when the she'iva samayim will be with joy. And that brings us to a teaching of Rav Kook in the Eretz HaTshuva, which is connected to the Ma'aral and Gerarye and Breishes, which I've also mentioned in the past. You all know that in the Seder of Bereishis, in the order of creation, there were certain things that went wrong. There was a machlokes between the sun and the moon. Every day of creation until Shabbos, there were problems. There were problems. Chazal tell us about this great length. One of the most puzzling. They're all difficult to understand. What does it mean? There's a machlokes between the sun and the moon. And the higher waters did not want to be diminished to become lower waters. All of these problems in Bereishis. But the problem, where Hashem commanded the earth to produce trees that will have the same taste as the fruit. Tam ha'eitz ketam ha'pri. Eitz pri oise pri. That Hashem l'chadchila intended that in this world that the tree would have as delicious a taste as the fruit. And the earth disobeyed, whatever that means. Obviously, the earth is not capable of disobeying, but there's something woven into the Torah itself by Hashem's will. The earth disobeyed and agreed only to produce delicious fruits, but the tam ha'eitz is not ketam ha'pri. For the tree does not have a good taste, with a notable exception, the esrog. One other possibility in the Gemara, but the esrog is tam ha'eitz ketam ha'pri. The esrog is a taste of Mashiach. So Cook in the Eretz Yeshuva explains the meaning of this. Tam ha'eitz ketam ha'pri. What does it mean that the tree should have the same taste as the fruit? And what does it mean that the earth sinned? Because Rav Kook says, the meaning of the earth sin is that this is the sin of all earthly existence. This is what causes us to give up hope somewhere along the way, during the 6 days, during the 6,000 years. Halavai Mashiach should come before that time. But this is what causes us to give up hope. That the taste of the trees is, the taste is so bitter, all people want is the taste of the fruit. What does that mean? Everybody wants to have a child that's perfect, that's beautiful, standing under the chuppah, the perfect shidduch, the perfect chasana, and they should have perfect children. Everything should be just right. Everybody likes that. Everybody enjoys that, and those are the payers that we're all waiting for in this world, payers. Those are the fruits. But this world has very low regard for the trees. Nobody wants to work towards that end. The means are unpleasant. The ends are only the ends in this world create excitement. A person goes to medical school with a dream of being able to help people. If it's a more noble type of a person, another might have other dreams that are more connected to finances or whatever. But let's say it's a noble person who's waiting and waiting to be able to help and save lives. But certainly all the years and all the exams, if it were possible to go to sleep at night and to attach some electrode to one's brain, and you'd wake up in the morning and you'd have all of the information that was necessary to be a magnificent surgeon, that would be wonderful. The fact is that nobody enjoys the trees. The trees don't taste good. And the most enthusiastic mother would have to admit that changing diapers is not so pleasant. And staying up nights with a child who's not feeling well, it's not pleasant. Everybody wants the fruits. Everybody wants the end, the tachlis. And the delay is bright. What am I going to do? I can't go to sleep at night and wake up with everything being perfect. I understand. I must go through the period of trees. But you understand that this itself is the sin of man, of Adam and Chav and Gan Eden, the impatience and the tearing of the fruit away from the tree. And we're suffering from this every day of our lives. The impatience. Wanting only fruits, not wanting trees. That's why children from an early age have difficulties with their parents, because they see themselves as the tachlis, the fruits. My parents are trees. Trees are not respected in this world. Trees are not beloved. Trees are good as long as you need them. But once the fruit feels like it's ripe, then goodbye tree. So the children nowadays feel, listen, I'm already 9 years old. I think I'm entitled to my own apartment and car. And I really don't need my parents' advice anymore. Bekitzer, I'm tired of being attached to the tree. And this failure to recognize the preciousness of the tree, and the inability for man to experience joy while preparing for something, during the period of the ushavtim, of drawing the water, during the period of raising the kids, during the period of seeking the truth. The ideal of that the pasuk is describing of Yismach Leiv Mevakshe Hashem. That's an extraordinary pasuk. Where else in the world could you say such a thing? That the heart that is seeking Hashem is filled with joy. It doesn't say Yismach Leiv Moitzei Hashem. Happy is the heart that has found God. It says the heart that is seeking Hashem is filled with joy. Because when Mashiach comes, and the tree and the fruit will be back together, and children and parents, and every single moment of working towards something will be as delightful and as delicious as having it. That's the inyan of Ushavtem Mayim B'Sosan. And we understand that on Erev Shabbos we could taste a little bit of what that means, of what that's like on Erev Shabbos, if we really, really work at it. Because what's being explained here is that a physical act, as wonderful as it is, and as holy as it is, the guf hamaisa, the physical act, sof kol sof, is part of the physical world. And therefore, it has all the limitations of the physical world. But hachone, preparing for something, which is really from that world that the Ritva calls avodas hanefesh, wanting and preparing for something, that already enters into a different realm, a different dimension of existence. There's a famous Torah of the Rebbe Rabun from Shischa. Every day in davening we say by Yishtabach, Haboiche b'shirei zimra, that Hashem has chosen, Hashem loves the shirei zimra, our songs. The Rebbe Rabunim said that what's hinted at over here is that Hashem is boicher b'shiyorei zimra. What does that mean, shiyorei zimra? So you know, by the chassidim, there's something that's called shirayim. What is shirayim? And shirayim, by the way, did not begin with the chassidim. That's a fallacy. We know that already from the Ramban, and we know that from the Beis HaMikdash, with the Kahanim, and so on. But certainly, by the Gdolei HaChassidus, that became very important, much more so than by those who are not from the students of the Baal Shem Tov. Shirayim means leftovers. Generally speaking, leftovers are not looked upon so highly. Generally speaking, one does not look l'chadchila for leftovers. By the chassidim, a rebbe who has something and leaves something over, it's, you know, you could get killed if you get in the way, right? And I remember the first time when I went as a child, and my father took me, and I was by the Satmar of Schussi again in Lena. And they saw that I was a more modern looking kid, so my cousins and everybody wanted to be mezakeh me, and they picked me up mamish. And they were carrying me on top of the chassidim. And ad hayayim, I won't forget. So my father told me to put out my right hand to be makabel shirayim from the tzaddik. And my cousins told me, go for shirayim. So they pushed me all the way there, and the satmar looked up with those unbelievable eyes. And he had a kugel that was the hottest thing I ever felt in my life. And he slapped it right onto my hand. You know, you're not allowed to use there's no plates or anything like that. If we put it right, it was a wet, burning hot piece of kugel. And I'm thinking, in one second, I'm going to bring shame upon my father and my family if I scream, but it was so hot. The shirayim. In general, the world doesn't care for these things. And those who are not of that persuasion, right, they're chassidically challenged. So they look at this with sometimes a degree of contempt. The Rebbe Rabunim said, listen about shirayim. Haboicher b'shirei zimra. The Rebbe Rabunim said like this, the Baruch Shalom loves when Jews sing. But you know what he loves even more? He loves when a Jew has finished singing. Listen, there are shirayim from the song. What does that mean? It means the physical act of singing has ended. But there's still a rumbling that goes on in the heart, and that niggun is going on in your brain. It's the shirayim. It's the shirayim of the song. We had in this medrash by Mitzvah Shabbos 2 weeks ago. I don't know if any of you were there. We had an unbelievable masiva to honor the tzaddik after whom our shul is named, Eish Kodesh Pizetzna, on his yahrzeit. And we had, I heard over 1,000 chevra, and it was such beautiful singing. It was such an avoy that I had tremendous hisalas from it. And I tell you the truth, I still haven't landed. And my wife and children know that I still haven't landed. And despite all of the bad news that we're hearing in the world, it has very strong gravitational pull to the earth. But the shirayim of that night is still with me. The Rebbe Yisrael loves shirayim. He loves the shirayim of a Jewish heart. You know, Rebbe Leiga was speaking about the month of Marcheshvan. And here I'll share with you something. And it's important to understand this. The month of Cheshvan. So somebody in my community told me, and I didn't mean this, but when I spoke about this a little bit, I don't mean to put down anybody, God forbid. I would never do that intentionally. There was a certain assignment that was, I thought it was in only one school because a parent told me about this, and then it turns out that there were other schools in the neighborhood that gave a similar assignment, that the children were supposed to try to think of a chag. If they could make a chag in the month of Cheshvan, what would that chag? To try to think up a new chag for the month of Cheshvan. Because Nabu Cheshvan doesn't have any chagim. There are no yontivs in Cheshvan. And the children had projects, each child to make a chag and so on. So, okay, it's very sweet, it's very cute, and it gives the teacher some opportunity to help the children be creative. All educational things aside, it's absolutely ridiculous. It's worse than ridiculous, although not that the teacher meant anything wrong, God forbid. But in my mind, it smells from kfir and apikursis. Why do I say such a thing? Not chas v'shalom, not that the teacher was meant that. But why do I say, why does it bother me when I heard such a thing? What does the teacher think? That the Rebbe Shalom missed something on the calendar? Like he was busy with Tishrei and he says, wow, I'm going to hit him with a lot of stuff in Tishrei. I'm going to give them this and that. It's going to be busy. They're not going to have a moment to stop thinking. To think. It's going to be so busy, Tishrei. So busy. All right, I'll give more of Cheshvan a little bit. Then Kislev a little bit. At the end, we'll make a Yontif for them. Later on, we'll have a Yontif Chanukah. What are you thinking? What do you think? That this is a mistake on the calendar? Listen to what Rebbe Leibel Eger says. All the tzaddikim say, but Rebbe Leibel says in Teres Emes, it's kedai to see inside. Cheshvan, Mar Cheshvan, Rebbe Leibel says, is from the words in the pasuk Rachash li bidavatayv. It means there is a whisper of my heart. My heart is whispering and murmuring. Rebbe Leibel says that after the whole month, after all of Elul and Tishrei, and after all the dancing, the avodah, and the excitement of being a Jew that we feel in the month of Tishrei, Hashem gave us a month where there are no Yom Tovim. You know why? Because he loves the shirayim of Jews. He loves the leftovers. Davka is not supposed to be contained in any physical act. There are no mitzvahs, there are no Yom Tovim during Cheshvan, because Cheshvan comes from that world of shirayim. It comes from the world that is not limited or constrained by anything physical. It means that the heart of a Jew after the simcha can't stop feeling, can't stop thinking. And Hashem says, I want silence so that I could hear the shirayim of a Jewish heart. And Cheshvan was meant to be silent. It was meant to be silent for the Rebbe Shalom to hear. Rachash li bidavatayv. The good thoughts, the good feelings the Jews have for Hashem is baruch after Tishrei. And for each other after Tishrei, that the heart goes on talking. Haboyche b'shiyare zimra, b'shiyare zimra. Again, we're not talking here about the act itself, because the act itself is confined to reality. It's a maisa, and a maisa is gewaldic, but that's it, the party's over. But before and after, dreaming of its approach, and thinking back, and dreaming about what it was, there the Rebbe Bunim says, Hashem chooses that those as shirayim, the leftovers of a Jewish heart. Habroich b'shirei zimra. And the Rebbe Shalom is with us the same way. I know that I'm not being so clear about any of this because I'm talking about something that I can't confine into words, so I don't know exactly how to explain this. And I'm just trying to understand what Rabbi Yosha Ber meant when he said that my heart aches, because in America, many Jews are Shomer Shabbos, but they're not Shomer Erev Shabbos. They keep Shabbos, but they don't wait for Shabbos. They don't long for Shabbos. The Rebbeinu Shlom, we said in the Yontif Davening, that Hashem has lifted us up above all nations. Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka said about that in the other tzaddikim that said, you know what that means? Lashon, of course, means a nation, but it also means simply, what does the word in Hebrew mean, Lashon? Language. It means language. Yeah? So, the tzaddik said means that Hashem cannot put into words how much He loves us. And Hashem has a good vocabulary. Hashem has raised us up. He loves us so much. Mikol ha-lashaynis. You know how when you every one of us should experience that to have a child, or if one's not zeichet to have a child, a niece, a nephew, but someone that you love in the strongest, most powerful way. So you know how you say something so silly when you can't say it in words. So you end up saying it. If somebody else would hear this, and I remember, I might have shared this with you once, I remember that when we were first married and we had our first child, so I was teaching in a yeshiva, and I had two very serious bochum over for Shabbos to come to the Rebbe. It was a whole important thing to come to the Rebbe. And the baby was just starting to smile. You know how that you're waiting for that. That's itself a very big tire. Why is it so important, that smile? But the baby was just starting to smile. And I got on the floor and I acted like an absolute lunatic. And I remember from the corner of my eyes looking at the boys, you know, and they had this like horrible look in their eyes that they just sort of wanted to, you know, to back out and to leave because they saw that, you know, Rebbe's acting funny. I'm saying funny stuff and acting funny because of Rebbe Mamtonim Mikol HaLashaynis. What can I tell you? Is that something that is part of a physical act? You can't. When a person says to a baby, I'm going to eat you up, and the baby gets a little bit nervous because she's known you to eat everything else up. So, Hashem says, can you imagine to each and every Jew, I love you so much. The Rebbeinu Shlom says, I can't say, Mikol HaLashaynis, I can't even put into words how much I love you. He says that to every Jew. Hashem's Baruch Himself hasn't created a word to contain, because words are physical. Words confine. Even though the Alevis is so amazing, they're still physical. V'ramam tonim mikol ha'lashaynis comes from a different place. It's Erev Shabbos. Saying I love you is Shabbos, but the feelings that I can't express is Erev Shabbos. You understand what I'm saying? I don't know if it's clear. Therefore, there's a famous Maise Vart from Balatanya, but you know about Balatanya, there's no such thing as a Vart. There's a famous thing that happened to Balatanya, but again, the Misnagdim are very upset about this. So if you have little tolerance for these things, this is going to hurt. But you have to understand what it means. You have to know what it means, a Maise from Balatanya. In general, you know, with the Balatanya, it gets the Misnagdim more upset because he knew how to learn. He knew how to learn. There's a famous Maase of Balatanya that he said once that he's jealous. The Tanya said that he's jealous of a Jew who's in his business. And finally, a couple of customers came, a poor Jew, and a couple of customers came in. And it's exciting. He might make a few kopecks. And all of a sudden, just when it's getting Leibedik, this Jew looks and he sees outside the window the sun is starting to set. And he doesn't know what to do. He has to daven mincha. So Tanya says, what happens? So he says, he just excuses himself and he runs to the back. He washes his hands quickly and puts on his gartel and he says, gives a krechs, oi, an anocha, oi. And he puts his head against the wall and he rushes to an ashray and to a shemen esrei. And the Bala Tanya said that he's jealous of that oi. And he says that oi, the Lashon of the Tanya was that oi
is Soyref Malachi Mala. You understand what the Misnaidim are upset about? That that krecht of that Jew is so powerful that it burns the highest angels. They're set on fire by that oy, that yid. The Tanya wasn't saying that that's a good, that mincha should take only a minute or two. That's what people don't understand in the Maisa. Oh, the Tanya, do you think that's the way he wanted us to daven? But that's not what it meant. And the Tanya is hoping, and the Tanya would explain to that Jew, let's try to work out your schedule maybe. That's not the point. That's not the point. The point I believe that the Tanya was making is very simple. And for someone who's not trying to look for faults, it's clear. What the Tanya was saying was that when that Jew put his head up against the wall, and he says, and he gave a Yiddish a krechts, that krechts had in it everything. Everything. It had in it, in a very deep way, a memory of when he was a little boy and he was hoping that he'd be able to be a Talmid Chacham, and it's not working out because he can't pay for the kid's wedding. And that krechts has in it a feeling of disgust. Look what's become of me. That this is the way I daven. And that krechts Shabbos. In other words, until now I'm talking about preparing for a mincha, preparing for an avoda. It comes from that infinite, endless world of the kids getting ready for daddy's party. That's what we've been talking about until now. That's by all mitzvahs. But could you imagine? So now let's talk about Atal Pichain. Erev Shabbos is different. Erev Shabbos is different. Because nowhere else do we have in all mitzvahs do we have that Hachana has become something which is woven into Halachi itself. Right? Lamaisa. The Hachanas of Erev Shabbos have taken their place in the world of Friday. It's a whole day that's a Hachana for Shabbos. And the rushing and the running. And the Gemara tells about the Tanoim and Amoraim. We have many stories in the Gemara. We don't have time. Rabbi Yanai Masatif Oimer Boikala Boikala. Rabbi Yanai would greet the Shabbos. He would put on his special talis, his special garment, and he would say Boikala Boikala, which became part of our davening Kabbalah Shabbos to welcome the bride. Boikala. Rabbi Hai Oimer Boivenes Lakras Kala Malkasa. And Rabbi Chanin used to say, let us go and greet the Shabbos queen, the Shabbos bride. And everybody knows that Kedosh Hashem, the Arizal, would go with his students who were dressed in the white of a chasna of the Kala, and they would greet the Shabbos Kala on the outskirts of Tzvas. And you and I, Bez Hashem, could stand in that place and could look by that hill overlooking the Beis Olam, where eventually the Ari HaKadosh himself would be buried in the mountaintop that reaches to Meron. And that the tzaddik used to go with the talmidim, they used to greet the Shabbos bride in that place. Boikala, boikala. Mr. Ma'ashoa says, boikala, twice. They were telling me, boikala l'chupa, and boikala beis balach. Twice boikala. Boikala twice means, boikala means to come to the chupa, to the chasna, and then it means to come home, that the husband and wife, the chasna kala, go home. Boikala, boikala. This is how they used to greet Shabbos. And even in the halachas of the Rambam, which you know that the Rambam is purely halachic sefer, the Rambam himself includes in the halachas of Erev Shabbos. Yoshiva miyachel b'kavod rosh l'kabbalas b'nei Shabbos. The Rambam is halacha. Erev Shabbos. What is it about Erev Shabbos? That the hachonis for Erev Shabbos, from that world, from that amazing world of hachanas that we've been talking about until now, that Shabbos is a hachana sheba hachana, how is that? What does it mean? Sarav hutna zechat zayich levracha in Pachad Yitzchak. I don't have time, I wanted to read to you the paragraph, it's already late, but if you look in Shabbos, Pachad Yitzchak, Shabbos, page Kuf Yud, from Rav Hutna, you see. Rav Hutna asked this question. What is it about Erev Shabbos that's different? And the answer he gives is very interesting, and I don't have time really to go into the Oimek in depth. Rav Hutna explains that in all mitzvahs we prepare
we prepare. And then the actual mitzvah is the seif maisa. That's it, gemarna, right? That's the act, the physical act, after the preparation. Rav Huttner says, but Shabbos is different, you know why? Because bevadai sheyuchel hazeh lebayis lo Shabbos amalku bebechinat tzipis liyushua bayachas le Shabbos shekul le Shabbos da'achnas hayomim. Because Shabbos itself, Shabbos in this world, is itself a day of longing, because Shabbos that we have every week is only me'ein olam haba, it's preparing for the final Shabbos of Mashiach. Can you imagine? It's hard for us to understand. It's preparing for the preparation. Shabbos itself, now there's an all mitzvahs we get, all mitzvahs we, mitzvahs shall we get to eventually, or we can't get to, because if I don't have a Beis HaMikdash, I don't have it now. Rav Huttner explains, he writes this, Shahachona zu, that when we prepare on Friday for Shabbos, Shahachona zu hi tzipiyah l'Shabbos min b'chines ma'is, eklaim ha-tzipiyah b'chlal hi michayvis halavavis. Waiting and wanting, which we've been talking about until now, is michayvis halavavis. It means that it comes from the work of the heart, like you saw from the Ritva, the Avodas HaNefesh. Aval ha-chona de'erev Shabbos hi ha-mitzvah ha-masa shel tzipiyah hazu. In other words, on Erev Shabbos, we have to prepare for Shabbos, which is a day, which is itself a day of what? Of preparing for Mashiach. Which is itself a hachana for Yom Shekula Shabbos Mnucha. So Rav Huttner says, V'lamadna mikan shachana d'Erev Shabbos ein seif in Yona, he wrote in English, readiness. That preparing an Erev Shabbos, it's not just getting ready, it's not just readiness, legufa maisa, to do something, elawachi, expectation, lemaisa. There's a difference between readiness and expectation. With all mitzvahs, it's a question of getting ready. With Shabbos, with Erev Shabbos is a day of expectation. It's filled with expectation and longing. Because Shabbos is that taste of the world to come, of the conclusion of everything, of the end of everything. Therefore you understand that the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Akiva would say Shir Hashim and he would cry Erev Shabbos. What's the meaning of saying Shir Hashim Erev Shabbos? Many Jews, that was the custom in many communities, Syrian Jews, they say in shul together, they say Shir Hashim, and many other kehillahs say Shir Hashim. It used to be that in Europe, it's amazing, now we don't have the time. When Erev Shabbos, that Erev Shabbos that Rav Soloveitchik was aching for, in those days they had time to say Shir Hashir. What Shir Hashir? The Chaim HaKadosh explains, why is it called Shir Hashir Mashal Shleima? He said, the Chaim said, Song of Songs, you know why it's called Song of Songs? Because you had, let's say that there was a Chasna and Kala, a husband and wife, newlyweds, that for some reason they were estranged. They were separate. Something went wrong between them. Something went wrong. But each one misses the other one terribly. So the chassan writes a love song. A love song. And the kala in her corner writes her love song. But we need a shadchan, yeah? Each one is writing love letters, but they're not being delivered. Shlomo HaMelech is the one who delivers the mail. What does that mean? And Shlomo HaMelech wasn't afraid to deliver the mail. And what does it mean? Shir HaShir Mashir L'Shlomo means the song of songs that Shlomo HaMelech took, the song of Hashem and his love for the Jewish people, and the song of the Jewish people and their love for the Chassan and Kala. And Shlomo HaMelech made a thing that's called the song of songs. He brought together the two songs to bring together the Chassan and Kala. We understand, therefore, that the whole inyan of Shabbos is a chasana, and we're going to talk a lot more about this. It's a taste of the end of time. Preparing for Shabbos is preparing. Erev Shabbos is infinite, it's endless, because all other mitzvahs have something, a shaychus to this world. Shabbos in the deepest level is not of this world, it's of the next world. So the preparations are, Rav Houghton says, not just getting ready, it's expectation, anticipation for when that day will come for the big chasna, for the big wedding. But every Shabbos in our lives, we say, Baikala, Baikala, and we welcome the Kala. And we'll talk a lot about that. But this is the difference, Rav Cook explained also, between engagement and marriage. And halavai, everybody should be zeichet to have good marriages and to be married with the right person at the right time. Engagement generally stinks. Generally, it's not pleasant. What do I mean by that? I mean that having dealt with this inyan with students of mine and many, many other people over many years, it seems to me that engagement often brings to heartbreak and all types of problems. And it would be good if they could just get married. But the emes is that that shouldn't be that way. Engagement should be unbelievably beautiful. You know why? Because engagement is preparing for marriage. And engagement comes from that world that is infinite. It comes from that place of boiche b'shirei zimra. It comes from the infinite longing of the heart. It comes from not having and waiting with anticipation for the one that you love. Really, it isn't constrained. It isn't held down by physical life. And therefore, Erusin was meant to be the most beautiful thing. It's Erev Shabbos. Yeah, it's crazy. You have to run around. You have to get this. You have to do that. And you have to find an apartment. And you have to find the whole chvesin to the and a gown and a, whatever. It's busy. Hachonis. Like Erev Shabbos. But it's so unbelievable emotionally what it's supposed to be. It's in the infinite world of unspoken love. So what's become of that in America? I'm only saying this derech agav, and I'm saying it very much bekitzer so that you'll invite me back. I hope. But if I would say really, really what I'm thinking, it wouldn't be so good. What's the problem in America? How come the engagements are so often disappointing or troubling? Because in America, the fruit has been taken from the tree. Do I have to explain? I'll say it in a way that's nice. In America, even by fine people who lurk in yeshivas, they would like to have the fruits, and they're impatient with the trees. Their sha'af to ma'im is not besosa. They would like to make believe that they're married when they're really engaged. What was meant to be a period of not being together, what was meant to be a period of only dreaming and waiting and wanting, has become itself dragged into the olam ha'maisa, into the physical world, and oftentimes ends up, God forbid, with things that are not proper even in the physical world, because of the impatience that our generation has to wait through the period of the trees and to get to the fruit, which is the peiros, and the inability to experience joy on a complete emotional level. We're so far removed from ruchnius in the purest sense that the engagement, even by religious couples, oftentimes descends into chaymer, into something which is physical. And I'm not talking now about the obscene term shoymenigi and not shoymenigi, which like narishkeit. Narishkeit. The Torah, the Baruch Shalom, is very romantic. And the Baruch Shalom understands, and he gave us a Torah Chai, where he wants it to be a bracha before the mitzvah. And he wants it to be an Erev Shabbos before Shabbos. And it means being busy and so on. But it doesn't mean dragging the emotions into the world of Chaymer. And since we're so limited spiritually, and this I think is what Soloveitchik meant when he said, when Soloveitchik said that his heart is aching for Erev Shabbos that he remembers as a child. And his heart is aching for the Erev Shabbos. It means that the heart of that great Jew is aching for a time when Jews knew what it meant to want something in a completely pure and innocent and sweet way without demanding the payers before the time. That's something that is very, very hard to sell in America. You have people in America, you have boys that they go and they learn for many years. If it were possible to attach those electrodes to the head and to wake up in the morning and be a Rav Moshe Feinstein, it would be very gishmak. But you know something? When a Maggid came to the Vilna Gaon, when a Malach, everybody knows that there was a Malach that offered the Torah to teach secrets of Torah to the Vilna Gaon, and you know that the Vilna Gaon turned the Malach away, right? Why? Can you imagine any American person turning that Malach away? Anything that comes easy, any American would say, I'm waiting my whole life for this. And the Vilna Gaon, who more than anything in the world wanted to know secrets of Torah, when a Malach came, was sent by Hashem to tell the Vilna Gaon secrets of Torah, the Vilna Gaon says, Shkoyach, I'm not interested. You know why? Because to the Vilna Gaon, electrodes meant nothing. There was the struggling, the wanting, the waiting, the yearning, the working things out. The trees that make the fruit so delicious. Because without the trees, without the wanting, without the waiting, without Erev Shabbos, Shabbos has no meaning at all. That's what Rav Soloveitchik was talking about. So you have a lot of fellows that would like to wake up Rav Moshe Feinstein's, but not too many want to work like Rav Moshe Feinstein. And I might have told this to you before, and I'm sorry it's late, but I might have told this to you, that I used to learn in the afternoons with a Yid who we were once talking about Rav Moshe Feinstein. He came from the hometown of Rav Moshe, from the same shtetl as Rav Moshe. And he said to us, sure, I knew he was actually older than Rav Moshe. This Jew died, he was almost 100, and this is some years ago. He said, I remember the Feinstein brothers. That's what he said, the Feinstein boys. You know, Rav Moshe had a brother, Rav Mardecha, that was a Goyen Olam. They say he was even bigger than Rav Moshe in learning. Goyen Olam. Nabuch, he didn't make it, but he was a Goyen Olam. So this old Jew told us, and we were all sitting around the table, and he said, I remember the Feinstein boys. So we asked, what can you say about them? So he said two things. One, that they greeted everybody in the sweetest way with a smile. Can you hear? Talmud Chacham is allowed to smile. Number one. Number two, that no matter what time you went to sleep, it was a little shtetl. No matter what time you went to sleep, when you looked out your window, you would see the little shul. You saw the two brothers sitting by the candles, learning, no matter what time it was. He said, I never went to sleep without seeing Rav Moshe and his brother by the candle. That was what we, in town, that's how we grew up. With Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Mordechai Feinstein sitting by the Gemaras. That's how you become a Rav Moshe Feinstein. So you could have thousands of guys that are learning in Kailo, and they would like to have the fruits. They would like to have the fruits. Sometimes I see some svarim that are being put out nowadays that they shouldn't have been put out. Hashem Yirachem. That filled with narishkeit and premature thoughts and things that haven't been developed. And I'm guilty of the same thing, not with writing, but with speaking. The truth is that a Jew shouldn't speak till his last day. What's there to say until the last moment? But we're living in difficult times. But you see, to be a Rav Moshe Feinstein, it means the Erev Shabbos, not just Shabbos. Everybody would like to have Rav Moshe Feinstein at Shabbos. But the Erev Shabbos of those long nights in the winters in Russia, that's not so popular. That's not what the Chevra wants. And that's why, with all of the students that are now in yeshivas and kollels, where are the Rav Moshe Feinsteins? Where are the new Rav Moshe Feinsteins? I'm sure there are, Baruch Hashem, some fine scholars, some fine Talmid Chacham, but Rav Moshe, Rav Aaron Cutler, where are they? And that's what the entire parish is about, but I'm just going to leave you this mamish 10 seconds. To me, I think the most moving psukim in the entire Tanakh, it's always a toss-up between that and Vayigash, Vayosef at Tzadik. But in this parasha, it's not the Akedah. It's not the actual binding of Yitzchak. It's when they were walking together. You understand what I mean? Vayelchu shnehem yachdav, that walk. What were they thinking? That walk of Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu on the way to the Akeva. It's infinite. It's infinite. It's Ein Seif. It's Erev Shabbos. Going to the Akeva. Going to Shabbos. Vayechu Shneim Yachtev. Complete Hachana. And the Akeva itself and the binding of Yitzchak. You know what it means. There was a father who was preparing himself to sacrifice his child. And the Malach, the angel, Hashem stopped him at that moment in the midst of preparing. So that till the end of time, each and every one of us is preparing. Because Avraham Avinu ultimately did not bring the knife to the throat of his child. But the Hislavas, the Hisroimus, the preparations, the Erev Shabbos of Avraham Avinu, that some Rishonim say that the biggest Nisoin was for him not to kill Yitzchak, right? To hold back. I believe that in that moment of holding the knife and looking down and preparing for that Keder, has given the Jewish people the ability throughout time to live in a way of ve'erastich li la'olam, and I will be engaged and betrothed to you forever. That a Jew could be forever engaged to Hashem, forever betrothed, forever wanting and waiting, ve'erastich li la'olam. And when Mashiach will come, the practical ma'isim of day-to-day life will not interfere with the waiting and the longing and the hoping of Erev Shabbos. We should be zeichim et Hashem. It's been a long Erev Shabbos, they said. We should be zeichim et Hashem to see that time. It should be Yom Shekul Erev Shabbos. It should be Yom Shekul Shabbos Menucha. I think that we all could use a good Menucha Shabbos, especially after the difficulties that that the Jewish people befrat, but the whole world bechlal, have been experiencing these last weeks and months, and for Klal Yisrael this past year, or it seems really for many, many years, that we should be zeichim et Hashem for a Shabbos. There will be a Shabbos forever. B'gula Hashem v'amitis. B'mehem yameinu amein v'amein.